Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, May 15th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Before I get ahead of myself, I want to say Happy Resurrection Day, and I want to remind you that we're having an in-house ministry fair today at Mountain Brook Baptist. So stop by Hudson Hall either before worship or during Sunday morning Bible study to look at all the different ministry opportunities where you could begin to volunteer, or if you're already volunteering in one area, to perhaps look at other areas of interest and use your gifts and your willingness for the Lord's work. In Exodus today, we're in Exodus 38, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 20. Now, this is some that is repeated from Exodus chapter 27, which gave the plans for what to build in the tabernacle. And in this section, we're kind of shifting to the construction phase. And so today's reading in chapter 38 talks about the items that were placed outside the tent in the courtyard and the enclosing of the courtyard with a perimeter fence. Again, these verses are implementing those previous instructions that were in chapter 27. The altar of burnt offering. They built the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood, 3 cubits high. It was square, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. They made a horn at each of the 4 corners, so that the horns and the altar were of one piece. And they overlaid the altar with bronze. They made all its utensils of bronze, its pots, shovels, sprinkling bowls, meat forks, and fire pans. They made a grating for the altar, a bronze network, to be under its ledge, halfway up the altar. They cast bronze rings to hold the poles for the 4 corners of the bronze grating. They made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. They inserted the poles into the rings so they would be on the sides of the altar for carrying it. They made it hollow, out of boards. The basin for washing. They made the bronze basin and its bronze stand from the mirrors of the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Next, they made the courtyard. The south side was 100 cubits long and had curtains of finely twisted linen, with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the post. The north side was also 100 cubits long and had 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, with silver hooks and bands on the post. The west end was 50 cubits wide and had curtains, with 10 posts and 10 bases, with silver hooks and bands on the post. The east end, toward the sunrise, was also 50 cubits wide. Curtains 15 cubits long were on one side of the entrance, with 3 posts and 3 bases. And curtains 15 cubits long were on the other side of the entrance to the courtyard, with 3 posts and 3 bases. All of the curtains around the courtyard were of finely twisted linen. The bases for the posts were bronze, the hooks and the bands on the posts were silver, and their tops were overlaid with silver. So all the posts of the courtyard had silver bands. The curtain for the entrance to the courtyard was made of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. It was 20 cubits long and, like the curtains of the courtyard, 5 cubits high, with 4 posts and 4 bronze bases. Their hooks and bands were silver, and their tops were overlaid with silver. All the tent pegs of the tabernacle and of the surrounding courtyard were bronze. Let's move on over now to the Psalms. Today we are in Psalm 139. You'll notice as we listen to this psalm together that the idea of searching is at the beginning and the end. The psalmist says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me," at the beginning. And then at the end, he asks God to search him. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." And so we're just reminded that God knows us intimately and his presence is always with us. Psalm 139, for the director of music, of David, a psalm. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And now let's move over to 1 Corinthians. Today we'll be reading the first part of chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 18. Paul writes as an apostle, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain.' Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us, because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me, for I would rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. As I think of Paul and his example to the Corinthians, I want us to focus in on who has made a difference in our lives. I want you to think of one person who has helped you grow in your faith, has discipled you, or has shown you what it is like to follow Christ. And I want you to just pray a prayer of blessing over them today if they're living or if they're deceased, maybe just a prayer of thanksgiving. So I'm just going to leave a little time at the end of this podcast with some music so that we can pray thanking the Lord for those who have gone before us. Let's pray together.